Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 335. Three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Which doesn't exist.
Zip code 63. Yeah. It just goes on and on. It just doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop.
Till the break of dawn.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, you know, me and my old school hip hop crew.
I do. Yeah.
So
I didn't know that was a thing, but all right.
Yeah. I was more of the break dancer.
Interesting.
Right. I was
did
the hype.
Not see that coming.
It's the hype man.
You had a piece of cardboard on the ground, right?
Yeah. Well, because my parents owned a printing company, so I had access to all that cardboard.
That's fair. That's fair. I would never have thought that.
Yeah. Oh, does Tommy have to come? Yeah. Well, he brings the cardboard.
Yeah. All right. His role was cut from breaking.
Yeah,
he was too white.
It was a shame.
Well, no, he just blended in with the concrete when the sun shined on the ground. He was there.
Couldn't see him.
The curse of the Irish.
Yeah.
That and our poetry and our food.
And alcoholism.
Well, yeah. But a lot of countries have that.
That's true. That's fair. It's not central to you.
If only we could subscribe to to clean living like the Italians.
Yeah, right. It's so funny. What was I? Was it? Oh, it was the guy who wrote The Real Donnie Brasco.
Okay.
And he was like, do you know? And there's a follow up book to Donnie Brasco that has like the recorded conversations he had with Sonny Black and Sonny Red. But he's like, do you know why mobsters are so fat? And the guy he's doing the interview is like, no. He's like, what they would do is they would go home with their families and they'd eat dinner. And then after that's done, they would go back out with the boys and the mistress, and they'd have second dinner.
Like hobbits.
Like hobbits, except not.
Exactly right. Like hobbits.
But yeah, like that's the thing. Is like they're eating like, and they're not small dinners.
Right.
They're massive pasta
dishes.
They're
carb loading with none of the exercise.
None of the exercise. If you ever, it's Way of the Wise Guy is the second book. It's fascinating. Just to even hear those conversations where the guy's like, it's either the Sonny Red, who is the Pacino character.
Yeah.
And he's on the phone. He was just like, I know you're a cop. I know you're a cop. And he's just like, no, I'm not. I'm not a cop. Like, I've been there with you the whole time. Like, I'm not a cop. He's like, okay, never mind. But like that whole scene in the Chinese restaurant.
It's been a long time.
So there's this. So Donnie Brasco's in the restaurant and he's got the bug in his boot.
Right.
And he goes, and the guys at the Chinese restaurant are like, you got to take your shoes off. And Brasco's just like, fudge, I'm in trouble. So he causes this big scene to where he's like, you killed my dad. Like, my dad was in the war, and you killed him. And these mob dudes beat the bejesus out of the owner of this restaurant because they disrespected Donnie Brasco. And it was all just so he didn't have to take his boot off to reveal the bug in his boot. And it's like, it's fascinating. Like that whole story is crazy.
I wonder if wiretaps are kind of not a thing anymore.
I don't think so.
Because it's like, you just start recording with your phone.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's true. I mean, I guess you could look at your phone. Like
if
a guy's like, let me see your phone.
Yeah, but I just wondered, phones are so ubiquitous, I wonder if they think to look at the phone. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's no such thing as the mafia, so that's not a thing anymore.
Oh, are they still doing that?
Yeah.
They're still saying that old thing? Well, I guess let's go around the table before we get started and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Dan is out this week, so...
Well, there are only three billboards.
Yeah, that's fair's fair.
Yeah, right.
Fair's fair, yeah. So just real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. People who were kind enough to share the show this week and join the League of Show Sharers.
Raul Julia.
Or rejoin the League of Show Sharers. Librarian Cynthia, Chris James, Tammy Sherman Powers, Tom Comiskey, Griffin Fox Smith, Julianne Jordan, Jason Weesey, Brad Hyen, Travis Tewitt, Troy Anspa. One day
I think
I'll
that's
remember
close.
How to
say it.
Am I getting
right.
there?
Yeah.
He hasn't yelled at us in a
he
while.
He hasn't, yeah.
So, Brent Smith, Chris Sanders, Richard Lawson, Lane LeVanway, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Timmy Tuzoon. So thank you very much
Thanks, everybody,
sharing the show, and we will now dive in.
So no reviews, huh?
No reviews.
All right, Rock Dog's coming up. That's what's happening.
The last Rock Dog.
That's right.
You asked for it.
So, you know, we didn't really skip this movie, but because it was so limited in release... this, along with Lady Bird, in the I would say in the last month, yeah, 3 weeks, two mm-hmm. weeks, has been blowing up social media. All kind, like all of this, they're just like these are the two.
Well, last week, both movies, Ebbing and Lady Bird, were limited release under 1,000 screens. Each one made $4 million.
That's crazy.
So
that's so much. That's these so, movies, for, yeah, that's a lot of money.
And they're winning. At least Lady Bird is winning awards left and right. So there's several smaller awards that they've won. And then the latest one was the New York. It's not called Critic Association. The New York, but the New York Awards
Film Circle.
Yeah, yeah, one of those. They
Circle Jerks.
They just named the movie Best Film, and then Saoirse Ronan as Best Actor.
Oh, for Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's
right.
like these things are winning awards left and right. Like, they're going to be nominated, if not winning some Oscars.
Right.
So.
Oh, for sure. And I have to believe that they're going to at least be nominated for sure.
Yeah.
So, given that there was nothing really coming out this week, we decided to go back and revisit this. And I got to, like, this was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think
I agree.
All around, like, we talk about how they don't really make movies for adults anymore.
Right.
And we've had a kind of a good run this year, I think. Has it been this year? It's so hard to tell at this point. Like, we're nearing the end of the year, and I don't remember what I saw in January. Yeah. But it feels like that they have kind of started to put out those movies for adults. And this is an independent movie, and we have said that there's two kinds of
independent. This isn't independent.
It
it's
is
art house.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
This is Fox.
Fox Searchlight.
It. Yeah.
But I mean, that's like their.
But that's not independent, though.
Well,
independent means no studio, correct?
No,
I mean,
yeah.
Independent.
Clerks is independent, and that was through Miramax.
But it was made independently and then got picked up.
They bought it afterwards.
It got
oh,
sold on,
okay.
on the film festival circuit.
That's fair. Okay.
I'm just
that's
saying there's a difference.
No, that's
independent
true. You're
means
right.
literally
that's
independent it. Of studios.
Right.
Art house means it plays in the art house. But Searchlights, A24.
Right.
I mean, A24 is on fire.
Yeah.
They're Lady Bird. They're the Florida Project. They're the Disaster Artist.
Oh.
A24, I don't think they're this one, but
this
of
one.
The ones recently, I mean, they are
Would
they're
you
on
consider
fire.
Blumhouse a art house studio?
That's a tough one. I mean, I think so without the artsy prestige. Like, they do the same thing.
Right.
It's just their pictures aren't nominated for awards.
Right. Which
right?
One of them should be this year.
Yeah.
If Get Out is not nominated for something, yeah. that's a shame.
I bet you it'll get original screenplay.
You don't think he'll get director?
Mm. Mm. It's really tough for a first-time director
to get in there?
To get an Oscar nod. I'm not right. saying it never happens.
Right.
But no. it's
I think
it's
I think tough. Screenplay for
And
sure.
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I think... So far, I think that's still my favorite film of the year.
That's close.
And the Golden Globes are putting it as best comedy or musical.
No, they're not.
Because to give it a better chance of winning.
Oh.
So it very well
how
could.
How do you... I don't even know how you would label that a comedy or a musical.
I mean, it's a very dark comedy.
It's got some dark humor in it.
Okay. You mean this or Get Out?
Oh, Get Out. Like, there are times where you laugh uncomfortably. It's dark humor.
Yeah. I don't think that's the word you should use.
Well,
I don't say black.
Black humor. Can't
yeah.
say that either. But yeah, so I think
talking about Jordan Peele, one half of Key and Peele.
Yeah.
I mean, he does have a comedic
no,
sense.
No, absolutely.
Him,
I mean, we talked about what was Keanu? Like,
yeah.
and that was a straight up comedy, basically yeah. action comedy. But
oh, that's yeah.
You know, so this is so. Our movie starts with Francis. Is it Francis McDormand?
Yes.
So she's driving down this not deserted, but like very two lane road in the middle of nowhere. And there are these three dilapidated billboards, and kind of sits there and she's pondering about what to do with these billboards. And we flash forward to the
Ebbing Sign Office.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. So she goes into like the
a little picture at the bottom of it. It says Ebbing Sign Company.
She goes into the office. This is the kid who was the dirtbag brother from that Tom Cruise movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I knew I recognized him, but I was too lazy to look it up.
Oh, don't even remind me.
He was missing the mullet in this one, but
I think he's really good in like this role.
He was a dirtbag.
I mean,
he was good in that.
But
I
know, but
that.
I'm just like, oh,
he's
that
such
kid
a dirtbag.
As soon as he shows up in that American Made movie, I was so mad. I'm like, you're going to ruin everything for these people.
And he did.
No kidding.
So she goes in and she's asking these questions about what can I put on the billboard? What can I put on the billboard? And the kid's just like, it's pretty obvious he has inherited this from his dad.
Right.
And he has no clue what he's doing.
But I have to just say right here, like, let's give it up to the writing in this film. And not,
absolutely.
I mean, the performances, Frances McDormand, incredible. This kid who plays Red is great.
Is she American?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, so in any role I see her in, Dan, I think, hit it on this. She's a chameleon.
Yeah.
So,
like in that Fargo un-American accent she does in Alaska.
I mean, no, that's a Minnesota accent.
I know.
Yeah,
you know that's in America though, right?
Right. It is.
Yeah.
Oh. Can we go back and just take?
No,
that?
No, we're not. They only. But I mean, he only edits things to make me look right, better.
Yeah. But yeah, like she.
That's what he pays me for.
Yeah.
She's such a. I don't even want to call her a character actress because that's not fair.
Oh, definitely.
Like she's
not.
The next level. I don't think she's an A-list actress.
Yeah, I mean, she's not the type. She's not a name that can open a film.
Right.
But when she's there. From a quality standpoint,
always.
She's top tier.
Yes.
I mean, I want to say this person transcends, but I believe they do the same type of roles. Daniel Day-Lewis. Like Daniel Day-Lewis, people aren't. The public isn't but the public isn't like Matt Damon, Tom Cruise, Daniel Day-Lewis. We know Daniel Day-Lewis is amazing, so he does kind of transcend.
Right.
But it's that
he's
it's
an
those
amazing,
amazing
shoemaker
roles that you can transform into, and so she is that type of actor.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And she is amazing.
She's so good in this.
In this movie. Like it is, she does this. So Neil McDonough, who directed this? Who did?
Oh, like Martin McDonough? Is he his brother?
It's his brother. Yeah. Did you know that?
Didn't.
Did you not know that? Oh.
No.
So I was not a huge fan of In Bruges. I thought
he's great.
What?
Seven Psychopaths.
Seven Psychopaths is
so
great.
Good.
Like In Bruges was like a little too dark, and I didn't know like what I was supposed
maybe
to be.
Maybe go back and watch it again.
Maybe
since you've only seen it once,
that's
and that would have been 10 years ago or
easily,
whatever.
Yeah. Easily. And then so she gives this nuanced performance where you are laughing at her. But in the next scene, you're just like, gosh, she's crushed. Like, she is a shell of who she used to be.
Yeah, it's interesting how much humor is in this movie. I mean, there are numerous times that are laugh-out-loud funny,
yes.
Even as sad and depressing of a story as
it is. This is one of those trailers that was a double switch. Like, those trailers made it look like it's a darker comedy.
Yeah.
And I felt like this was more of a dramedy. Instead of like there, yes, there are some laugh out loud moments in this movie. There are also some like gut punch.
Oh yeah.
Moments in this movie.
It has a very, and I know it's hard not to relate it to this because of Frances McDormand, but it's very Coen brothers and they're prime-ish, you know, with like Fargo has some serious stuff, but
sure.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
This isn't quite as quirky.
It's not as zany. No,
that's this is more,
it's more
like,
grounded. The humor is more believable.
Yes,
sure.
Like it's not just like
agree.
Here's a wacky character doing wacky things. Mm-hmm. It's I mean it does come from the moment and it's more organic.
Right.
But there are for given the topic, so she buys the billboards.
She buys the billboards and we go for and on the billboards we see that it says raped while dying.
Still no arrests.
Why is that Sheriff Willoughby?
Yeah.
Or why Sheriff Willoughby? So Sam Rockwell, who you could just put that guy in any movie from here on out. I don't even care.
Yeah,
he's
phenomenal.
So great.
When is
he's
Sam
so
Rockwell not good? Name the movie.
Iron Man 2.
No. When was great. Yeah, but like
he was mad because he was almost Iron Man.
I know, he was so close. He would have made a great Scott Lang. Like, if they could have brought him back as Scott Lang, they, he would have been great. But that's true. I can't. No, because Moon's fantastic. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind is great.
He's always got the way, way back.
The way.
So good.
Yeah. And that's like, that's so weird because I, he's always a jerk. He plays the jerk
right, that
perfectly.
Was the switch.
They,
and
they swapped roles.
Right.
It was supposed to be the other way.
And it's amazing to be like, oh man, you can be the nice guy. Like, it's so cool.
He's a phenomenal freaking actor.
Yeah.
The
he
guy
was so
is
good.
Amazing. But yeah. So, and, this is interesting, and I definitely want to discuss this character because I love this movie. Like you said before, I actually saw it twice. I really, really enjoyed it. But his character is so, like, you know, they try to do the redemption arc, which is the whole point of it as the movie goes along, and obviously toward the end.
Raul Julia,
Lord,
would
he
love
is,
to chime.
It's
in
Oscar season. He has to vote.
Does he have one?
An Oscar?
Yeah.
I don't
Did
think
he win
so.
For what was the one where he was like the.
Kiss of the Spider Woman?
No, the where he's the priest. I feel like he won for that. Anyway, go ahead.
He didn't win an
Tom
Oscar as Gomez Adams.
I don't
and,
think or M. Bison.
Well, that transcends awards, my friend.
Oh, it transcends
Bison,
something.
You son of a bitch. Oh my god, I love that movie so much. I have that on Vudu in, you know, super HD.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm just waiting for Mario
he's,
Brothers
he's
to go
He's dying in that movie. And I don't mean like figuratively. He's literally dying.
It was his last film.
It was,
Way to go out on top. Every actor dreams. I mean, if they have to go out. I'm not saying you want to, but if you have to go
you
out.
You want to go out fighting Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
If it makes you feel any better, he did win MTV Movie Award for
oh, great.
For Oscar Adams.
For what? Oh, for
Best
Gomez.
Kiss.
Oh, with Morticia?
Yeah.
They won Best.
Angelica Houston.
Oh, yeah.
She was pretty late in that.
And he does not appear to have been.
Oh, that's a shame.
Won or even been nominated for an Oscar. Oscar. He did win a SAG Award. For oh sorry no he won National Board of Review for Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
There you go.
Thanks. Yeah,
that's
great.
Whatever that
that's
is.
The one that just voted I think Best Picture and Best Actor Saoirse Ronan. National
okay.
Board of
so,
Review is the
okay.
one that's...
we see what kind of clout they got.
Right.
Yeah, so there yeah go ahead. You just want to talk about his character
yeah
arc.
Yeah, so yeah. It's just interesting. So this guy is not a good person at all. And they set this in Missouri. There's some racial conflict.
Are any of these good people?
I
yeah.
feel like the
Willoughby.
Sergeant is a good dude.
Willoughby's a good guy.
Willoughby is a good guy.
Willoughby's definitely a good guy.
Peter Dinklage.
He's always a very good
Peter
guy.
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
Is a good guy.
He held the ladder.
He did hold the ladder. But
he didn't have to hold that ladder.
He didn't have to.
God! What a scene.
Yeah.
What a scene.
So I just, you know, it's obviously mounting towards the redemption and people can grow and learn and blah, blah, blah. But this guy is so, so bad.
Okay, so he's not bad. Until that scene. Like, he's
bad. Oh, he's
bad
in the very beginning when they say what he's done. That's bad.
But you don't know what he's... You know, that's the town saying...
I guess as a film viewer, you haven't witnessed
right
him being...
That's the
but
town...
But they hint at
the,
it.
They yeah. do hint at something, yeah. but that's the town. They don't... Nobody really knows what happened.
The second scene in the movie, after, if you don't count the billboards one, the third one is when they're going to go see Red, and he says some stupid stuff, and the captain, the bald guy, says, why don't you let this guy go? And,
oh.
and you know, he tortured a suspect, and Willoughby goes, well, there's not really any evidence.
Right.
So, I mean...
Something happened.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and he doesn't go full crazy
yeah.
until about halfway yeah. through. And then you're just like, well, good luck.
But regardless of when you find out, he is a bad person. And we find out what it is that he tortured a person of color.
That scene was wonderful. Yeah.
And he...
it was
not the torture
not
scene.
Not the torture scene.
To be clear, we don't
no.
see that.
No, the yeah. the scene with... Francis McDormand and him and Sam Rockwell
yeah.
going back and forth about what to call
yeah.
the
oh,
torture.
Right.
And then
yeah.
Woody Harrelson walking in and him having to explain
looking at it and,
what
yeah.
is happening. My God. That was probably the funniest scene in the movie.
The writing is top notch. But anyway, it's interesting that they try to redeem a character that's that bad and that does these bad things throughout the movie. And I heard it's not a huge thing that aren't like 500 articles out about it, but I heard that on the internet, there is some backlash from people about this character because of the things he did in the past and in this film,
well,
trying to make him a good...
It's tough because... So we're just... Okay, we'll just get into this part. So Woody Harrelson's character is the police chief, but he has cancer. And he doesn't have long. And rather than suffer through the next couple months, he decides to take his own life in a scene that I did not see coming.
Oh, it's fantastic.
At all. Like, yeah. He has,
I was talking to Tom about this. This scene with the letter.
Not even the letter, but I mean, like, so he has this wonderful day with his wife and daughters, and he's...
As soon as he walked out to the barn, I was like, he's killing himself.
I didn't even think about it.
Because I was like, oh, he just built the perfect day.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
That's exactly what it was.
While we were watching that, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, why do we care about him...
That's fair.
...going on a picnic with his family? I was just like...
What's going on here?
Yeah, and then when he walked to the... When she falls asleep and he walks to the barn, I'm like, oh, killing himself.
Yeah. But yeah, so then that gives Rockwell... He writes this letter to Rockwell's character.
Well, that's good. That's way in advance.
Right. But like, that's kind of like what gives you that, like, gives him the motivation to change the character.
Sure.
So, I mean, I get that it's hard to redeem a character like that, but.
Oh, I'm not arguing his redemption. It's the fact that, do we let him be redeemed? Like, I love the way that the character changes and all that.
And I will say that stepping outside of the movie, just as a society, that's frustrating to watch this. There's this new mentality of, like, people are unredeemable.
Yeah.
That if you do, like, you know, like, even if a person says, whoa, that was dumb of me, and I am legitimately sorry. Like, we've fallen into this cycle as a culture of demanding an apology, getting an apology, and then saying, F you, not good enough.
Right.
And
not it's like, any apology.
And so it's like, you know, I get frustrated where it's like, if you want people to change,
You have to accept their change.
You have to let them.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, if you want, you know, like when, you know, I saw an article a while back about people were like, it was a picture of, from the 60s where, black students were protesting by eating at a diner. And then there's a picture of like just white people just screaming at it. This pretty famous picture. And they were just talking about like, what happened to those people?
To the white people?
To the white people. Like, where do they go?
That's a good question.
And
it's like the pictures of all those alt-right guys.
Yeah.
When they're just like, I didn't really mean it.
Yeah. All the ones that have been fired after people found where they were.
And the difference is the alt-right guys were, that was 10 minutes ago, so they haven't changed. And you do wonder, are those people still like that and they just know to shut up now? Or do they look at that?
It's like, God, what was I thinking?
You know, 60 years later and are like, oh. Yeah. Why was such an idiot?
Yep.
I would say Megan Phelps is probably one of the best examples.
What a crazy story.
To go from being to the, you know, the most hated, just putrid, terrible human beings ever. You know,
can I tell you I think it's fake? Like, there's a part of me that thinks it's all bull to take, like, the heat off of her. You know what I mean? Like, I don't...
wait a minute. You don't think that she has changed? Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how jaded I am.
Right.
Oh, wow. Where, like... I don't think you're telling the truth. Like, you, it's hard for me to look at what you did and how awful and evil you were to people you didn't know. And then within, 3 months, you undo all of that programming your crazy family did to you. Like,
there he is right there, speaking to your point.
Yeah.
She's changed. She seems like a good person.
But
you don't believe her.
But I mean,
and,
like, it's tough because, like, she was so.
It's a pretty big swing.
She was so out there for so long.
Sure. But she also was born into it and brainwashed as a child.
Totally. But that doesn't go away in 3 months. And granted, I'm making up that number. Like, it could have been way
longer. It's been over 2 years now, at least.
So that is difficult.
She may have left 6 years ago or 4 years. It's been years now.
When did Red State come out?
I don't know the year.
That's when the Kevin Smith thing started with her and him.
Yeah.
Where, like, they would go back and forth. And he was just like, we were having she's nuts, but we're having a conversation and I'm listening to her. So I feel like it was around the time of Red State.
Yeah.
But whenever
that was. It's been a while. But anyway, it's just, I think Tom makes a really great point, and it's hard because it's, I could see both sides of the argument. Like,
and I will also say that I know it's really easy for me as a middle-aged white guy to sit here and say that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not lost on me either. But you do see that where it's like people that, you know, nobody want everybody, you know, like, let's take it out of the realm of politics and race. Like, you know, I see when, you know,
like a criminal?
When, like, a conservative politician has a gay son.
It's literally my favorite thing.
And then they're like, you know what? I've been wrong all these years.
Yeah.
And then the first thing you see a certain percentage of people do is say, oh, well, now that it affects you, you care. And I'm like, well, yeah. There's a phrase for that. It's called human nature.
Right.
Like, and again, let's step back from anything that's really related to anything political. You know, how much money did Michael J. Fox raise for Parkinson's before he had it?
That's true.
I'm going to say it was probably none.
Zero.
And it's like, and that doesn't mean Michael J. Fox is a douche. It doesn't mean Michael J. Fox doesn't care about Parkinson. It's just like
it wasn't on his radar.
Yeah. Now, I will say Michael J. Fox also wasn't actively out campaigning in favor of Parkinson's. So that's where my analogy breaks down. I'll save you from writing the emails.
Well, but, he was, and then he was spited.
Yeah.
But that's also human nature that people, you know, when something affects them, then they realize, oh yeah, and that is
this is important.
And but that's where incremental change comes from.
Do you give them a chance, or do you say, well, that's not real, that's materialized or whatnot?
And in a lot of ways, it's that conservative senator is going to change a lot more because the people's minds who haven't changed are the super conservative,
and that's never going to change.
Super dug in, and what they need is somebody from the inside to go, dude, dial it back.
Right.
Yeah.
And who knows? We might get that in 6 months. We have no idea what's going to happen.
So,
Sam Rockwell is driving down this little road because he just happens to turn down and he sees the three billboards and he's just like, what? So he stops and talks to like the Mexican guy, and the Mexican guy is like, I don't know. Like, go, there's that one. So he goes to the next one and we happen to run into
a black dude.
And
they recognize
now, initially, him. I thought this was the guy.
Oh, like this
I
is
thought
the
this
guy,
is the guy that he beat up. We don't know.
Well, like, it's certainly not. He just knows him from the news.
Maybe.
It's not the guy.
How do you know?
I just know.
Did you read the script? Is it in the novelization that it's not the guy?
The comic book adaptation. It's not the guy.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure, like, in future scenes when he's going to start a fight with Red, you see some black people off to the side. They're looking at, like,
sure.
Everyone knows who this guy
yes.
is.
Right. Yeah, so he is a known dude.
Trust me, he would know
town.
The guy. The guy at the billboard wouldn't go, don't I know you from somewhere? The guy at the billboard
is
knows
that what he says?
What Dixon, yeah.
Okay.
Because he says, don't I know you? He's confused about knowing him, but then he realizes who he is.
I thought the black guy putting up the billboard was pretty ballsy.
I did too, like when he hawks the big old loogie
and when he's just, yeah, when he like he's not taking any of this
and
guy.
This southern obviously
southern Missouri
racist leanings from this office.
I thought it was the other line where the guy where Woody Harrelson is just kind of like, look, if I fired every racist cop, I'd have no cops, and if the ones that I did have, they'd hate the gays.
Yeah.
Right. So
it's a funny line.
What do you want me to do?
It's funny. I can tell. And even he laughs at it. And I'm pretty sure that's him in real life laughing. It's because it's a funny line.
It's a
right?
good, it's a good line.
It works well,
a good line. So he calls Woody Harrelson. And Woody Harrelson's like, what? Like, I'm eating Easter dinner. What? It's the line from the trailer. Yeah. What are you doing? He's like, we got a problem. So they go out there and they're just like, what? So this is when they go see Red. And Sam Rockwell kind of grabs him
that
by the
communist.
Front of his shirt. Yeah, the communist. And he was like, no, it's because I have red hair.
What are you, some kind of commie? That's Dixon.
Yeah, the kid's just like, no, I have red hair. That's why they call me Red. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So Dixon is obviously, they're trying to really play up the like southern racist leanings, you know, the old South way. He obviously... Yeah, so the racism part is there. Is he also mentally handicapped? Like, I feel he's not all there.
I feel like he might be a little dumb.
I know he's dumb.
I thought he might have been gay.
Oh. Why do you think that?
That other police officer who was bald, they just seemed tighter than best friends.
In the bathroom, I first thought they were going to kiss in that bathroom.
Because
they're very close to the other, crying on each... But
yeah.
I
took that as like a bro.
But on rewatching it, it's only Rockwell crying, and he's like, and it's because he just fainted,
right.
And he was holding him up, and he's like, you're not going to faint again, are you? And he's not crying at all.
He's like, you got your legs back?
Yeah, and he walked away. Yeah. So, but at first, that's exactly what I thought. I thought that, this whole time, there's... Yeah.
Interesting.
But I feel like his character, he is of lower intelligence than average. He does have the racist leanings. But I feel like for someone to act the way he does and do the things he does, it's worse than stupid. It's like he has some kind of mental
I don't know if it's
issue.
If it's a mental issue as much as it is his inability to deal with emotion.
Yeah.
You know, like when he finds out that Woody Harrelson is dead, this is the scene where it's just like, oh, you're crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's not.
But, and he has no idea how to handle the emotions that he's feeling. Like, he's emotionally stunted.
Like, I feel like even dumb people would probably think that's not a good idea to do it with my job.
In
and
front of
whatever.
Your new boss.
But yeah, something. So anyway, just an interesting observation.
Saying.
There's something off about that character.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole movie, he just seems not only dumb, but emotionally stunted something. And,
right.
You know, the way he lives with his mom and talks about her just seems.
Don't talk about my mom.
Yeah.
So
they go see Red,
and Red's just like, look, she hasn't done anything wrong. He's like, well, how long does she have it for? And he was just like, she has it for a month. He's like, aha, it is a she. And he's just like,
well, he says a year. He lies.
Oh, that's right. He does lie. Yeah.
How long did she pay for them? A year.
Right. So
that's where Joe's like, ah, detective work.
Yeah. Well done, Woody Harrelson. Yeah. Way to trick him.
Now I'm interested.
Now I'm in. And that's the thing. It's like, I thought this was going to become a detective movie.
Right.
Yeah, I thought the whole thing was
with.
Gonna be Willoughby going to actually find the killer.
I thought Willoughby,
and then
I thought Willoughby. We know that he's sick, so he's on the clock, right? Yeah. And then you've got like these two parallel stories. I'm completely wrong. Yeah. Like that's not what this movie is.
I really
at all.
Thought the entire thing was like him trying to solve the case, get the billboards removed before he dies.
Before he dies.
And yeah, which would have been interesting too, but
right.
It's not.
It's not.
It's a very quiet movie.
Yes.
In the sense that it's not about anything huge like that. It's just a lot of really great conversations.
A lot of personal.
Yeah. It's
stuff.
Deep too,
like,
because
it's super deep.
Frances McDormand's character does a lot of funny things and does a lot of crazy things, and her arguments are not reasonable. She's not being a reasonable person.
No.
And all that comes down to is showing how much pain she's in and loss and what that can do to you.
Right.
Because after this scene, after they go talk to Red and they can't really pin anything on him and Dixon gets all mad, Willoughby goes to visit Frances McDormand.
Right.
And she...
they have a sit down and she's acclimable. What's that word? Acclimable? She's willing to listen to him.
Yeah.
And he's just like...
Amenable?
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, it took you...
Amiable? Is that what you're thinking of?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think amiable is nice. Amenable or meanable is...
Like, I will...
Is like
I will,
willing to... like
willing to interact.
Yeah.
So she is... She's just like, it took you less time to get out here and deal with these billboards than it has to find my daughter's... And he gives a great argument. He's like, look, we ran the DNA. We ran everything. Nothing came
back.
I
agree 100% with Willoughby, and I believe 100% Willoughby is a good person that wants to solve the case, is not ignoring it. So Frances McDormand's...
The evidence, there's just not...
There's nothing there. You can't will evidence into...
Yeah, but it's ill-advised.
Yes.
Yeah,
she's completely in the wrong here.
Totally.
But you root for her because she's going through some crap, right? But
and we find out the last conversation she has with her daughter, you're just like, ugh.
Yeah, she's obviously very messed up. But yeah, so she says, draw blood from everyone in town that's over 8.
Yeah, and the guy's like...
What if they left town? Well, draw blood from everybody in the country. What if they're just passing through the country?
It's like everybody. And then he's just like, you can't do
that.
Her
idea for a database, like, she has been thinking and mulling this over and losing sleep. So she has invented this system where you draw blood from every single infant or every single child born.
Every single boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She says boy.
She says every single boy. And then when they do something wrong,
database.
Kill them.
Well, put it in a database, prove beyond a reasonable doubt that it was them,
right.
Then you kill them.
Yeah, and he's just like, there's so many civil rights violations you're talking about right there.
Yeah, hats off to Martin McDonagh, though.
Yeah, it's a really smart movie.
This script, I love it. Again, I saw it twice. I would sit and watch it again.
I watch it again.
You know, it's almost 2 hours, hour 45, I think. But like,
it moves.
The second time I watched it, it went by super fast, even knowing what was happening.
Yeah.
I'd watch it again. Like, it is such a fun experience. I say fun. There's serious stuff, but it's such an entertaining movie because of the way it's written.
It does remind me a lot of Fargo.
Yeah, it's
in that it's not as funny. It's not as quirky,
right?
But it has that feel, and that's like Fargo is one of my top 10 of all time. Like, I love that movie. I love the TV show,
yeah,
especially season 2.
I know,
that's right.
Your buddy's in
that's
there.
Right. He is
Stretch.
Okay.
Stretch Night Owl.
I was like Night Owl.
What?
From Little River Band.
Yes, from Little
River
Band.
The Heart of the Night Owl. Call.
Yeah.
Night Owl Two.
Yeah. Not,
it's
you know,
not.
He's not
crazy.
He's not Hollis Mason.
Yeah.
That got really nerdy real quick.
that's for you
Watchmen fans out there.
That's what we do.
Yeah. Welcome to Real Spoilers.
So he starts going, he goes back to Willoughby. Oh, goes
and then
back.
He says, I got something to tell you. And she's like, what? And he's like, I'm Diane. And she's like, I know.
And he's just like, what? What do you mean you know?
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. So they go back.
So he gets no sympathy, which again,
none whatsoever.
This scene is, she is so hard, and obviously because of the loss and everything. And again, I don't think she's a bad person. She's mentally distraught.
I think she totes that line. She walks that line of being a bad person.
I mean, she does burn down the police station.
She firebombs the police station.
I mean,
she does it on purpose. She knows that Dixon is in there.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't
think so?
I don't think she knows Dixon's
in there. I think she was
there.
Calling to see if anyone was in there before she did it.
I thought she was calling to see if he was in there.
No. I think she calls. Oh, okay. No one answers, and she's like, screw him. And then, like nothing. Yeah.
That makes sense.
But no, I mean, I guess I'm saying at this point, she makes decisions that are bad, definitely. It's just at this point, and I don't think she's a bad person. She's just hurt. She's going through a lot of crap. And so she's very cold, and someone's dying, and she's like, well, the billboards wouldn't be very good with you dead.
That was the line where she's like, it wouldn't be very effective if you croak.
After you croak. So it's like very harsh to someone who's dying.
Yeah, he's just like,
But she's like that with everybody.
Yeah, there's...
She's got a very dark...
Even her son.
She's got a very dark sense of humor.
It's not...
I mean, I have a dark sense of humor. So, like, I mean, there are certainly times I say stuff not to this degree to my kids, but I used to work with a guy, my boss at Pops. He talked to his wife and then he would say awful things to her, and she would just laugh. Like, and he didn't mean a word of it.
Right.
Like, I mean, he really didn't. He's like, you couldn't meet a nicer guy, except for me, of course.
Of course.
And,
course.
But he would say things where I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm thinking like, okay, this is your relationship, and she knows how you are, and she knows you don't mean this. But in my head, I was always like, but what was the reaction the first time you said something like that?
Baby steps. Yeah, you don't go right into it.
You don't go right into the C word.
Yeah.
You got to build your way up to that. Like,
yeah.
You can't go right into it. But yeah, so she is like that with everybody, with the exception of the gal she works with at the gift shop.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like she was always super nice to her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that relationship is, because they don't really explore it a lot.
I think she just cares about her.
That could be.
And maybe she sees her. She's a bit younger. Maybe she sees
her
as kind of
a
daughter.
Bit, yeah.
Surrogate daughter.
So they go back to the police station, and Willoughby's just like, give me that file. And the guy's like, which one?
Love this line. Every scene has a line that I absolutely love. This is just so great. Which one? The Angela Hayes or the mom? What's her first name? The mom's name.
Is it Meredith or
Merida?
It's not Meredith. We'll have to look that
Mildred.
Up.
Mildred.
He says, oh, what? The Angela Hayes case or the Mildred Hayes case?
And he'll be like, just like,
there is no Mildred Hayes case. I've got two complaints. and just,
which ones? Fat Dennis
and the crazy
and a lady with a funny eye.
Lady with a funny eye.
And he's just like, the Angela one.
Yeah.
I'll take that
Love
one.
Love it. Absolutely. These
and
interactions are amazing.
He starts to work the case.
Yeah.
So Mildred goes to get her teeth cleaned. And because...
With
the fat dentist. Because this town is so small, they all have this love and affinity for Woody Harrelson. Like, they know he's a good dude. They know he's sick. And they know these billboards are kind of a shot in the nuts to him.
Yeah.
So,
oh, he had ball cancer.
He did have ball cancer, didn't he?
No, he had
prostate cancer.
Oh, no.
Right? Was it pancreatic cancer?
Pancreatic cancer. Which is like the worst.
That's it.
It has a mortality rate of like 98%.
Yeah,
or
you're not coming back from
almost
that.
Nobody lives through pancreatic cancer. It's what killed Bill Hicks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Not Mitch Hedberg.
No, Mitch Hedberg is what killed Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was called heroin. I was just listening to Mitch Hedberg on the way in. That's why.
Were you really?
Yeah,
Someone just did a Mitch
so
Hedberg
great.
Joke the other day, and it made me miss him so much. I
so
loved
funny.
His style of comedy.
Yeah, it was good
his
stuff.
Delivery. It was.
I
just,
loved him on that.
His jokes were so simple, but it's the way he delivered them. It was just brilliant.
his run on that 70s show, where he's just like, I didn't go to Vietnam to serve, take crap from kids like you. They're just like, you weren't in Vietnam. He's like I said, I didn't go to Vietnam to put up with crap from kids like you. So she goes to the dentist. She's going to get a little work done. He's like, nah, it's wiggly. We got to take it out. And she's just like,
he's about to start drilling.
She goes,
what? Yeah. He's like making no effort
no
to
whatsoever.
Like.
And she goes, can I get a little bit of Novocaine there, doc? And he was like, oh, fine.
Pulls out the huge needle.
Yeah, the massive needle gets it in there. And then he makes some comment about Willoughby. And she immediately turns around and clocks him in the face and takes the little drill and drills a tiny little hole. That was pretty gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, that hurt. Into his thumbnail. And he's just like, oh, my God. You know, he's screaming.
And then she
takes a big old swig of water and spits it in his face.
I was just like, this lady is a badass.
Yeah.
Like, I love this character. And I'm not saying all these things she does are right. But this is a movie. And it's supposed to be a little humorous. There's that dark humor element.
Was Seven Psychopaths this...
It's a pretty dark humor.
Is it? But it was more overtly funny.
That's what I thought. Like, it was more of a comedy.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't as serious as this, it was definitely a dark, it had some dark stuff.
So they go to the police show up at the gift shop where she works, and Woody Harrelson's just like, Mildred, have you been to the dentist recently? And she's got, like, a huge, like, knot in her mouth. She's like, nope.
Yeah, she's still numb from the little bit of Novocaine he did give her.
I haven't been to the dentist.
I haven't been anywhere. And he's just like,
well,
you got to come with us. And she was like, okay. They go to the police station.
The fat dentist wants to press charges, so we're going to have to take you in.
So they're having this conversation, and this is where you get more of his... This is the conversation that I thought was the best part of the...
It starts off with her and Dixon at two ends of the room. She's in the interrogation room, and
she drops the N-bomb.
How is the N-word torturing business?
And he was like, you don't call it that. It's the colored people torturing business.
It's the persons of color torturing business. Yeah. You can't call it the N-word torturing business. It's because you got to call it... I mean, the writing, the performance,
and then Willoughby walks in. He's like, "What the hell are you doing?" She's like, "She called it the N-word torturing business."
And I told her,
"You
gotta
call it that."
And then you're just looking at Harrison's face where he's in disbelief.
He goes, "I'll take over.
I think we got it.
Yeah,
I'll talk to
and
her."
He pulls up his belt, and I'll be right outside the door if you need me. Like, he is such a doofus.
He's doofy. He's doofy from Scary Movie.
Yeah, he is. He is Officer
except
Doofy.
beating up people.
Yeah.
So this is a very This scene runs the gamut of emotions, right? So in the beginning, it's very funny. In the middle, he's just like, look, you can't. Like, whatever you're thinking about doing, you can't do it. And then all of a sudden, he coughs.
When he has those great lines, you think I care about who wins between you two? I don't care about dentists. Nobody cares about dentists.
Yeah, right.
And just lines like that, which are so great.
And then he coughs and... just happens to cough blood up
on her face.
And it was very believable. He's like, I didn't mean it.
And she's like, no, babe, it's okay. Yeah. Like, we'll take care of it. We'll, you know, and then they take him out on a stretcher. And
it's like, they're like the sheep and the wolf dog and the Looney Tunes.
It is kind of, yes.
And it's like, they're going to fight and fight and fight. And then it's going to be like, but when something more important, they will both recognize it and they'll clock out.
Right.
And
we'll go about
because she helps him, and obviously she's not happy with him, but then she goes and gets help, and then when he's getting pulled on the stretcher, he says, let her go.
Yeah.
And Dixon's like, are you kidding me? And he, let her go.
Right, cut her loose.
Yeah. So.
And it's Harrelson's wife in this, I initially thought was trying to do a really thick Southern accent.
This is the only thing really in this movie that, quote-unquote, bothered me, and then the second time I watched it, I knew it was there, so it didn't as much.
Did
but
she
the first
start
time, like,
with a Southern accent? Or was it always this British accent?
She's Australian. It's not British.
Oh.
And I think she's trying to do a Southern accent, which clearly the Australian comes through.
Yeah.
It is so weird. Like,
it was a very weird
voice. Does not know how to do accents or drop that Australian accent.
Yeah.
Because it bothered me. And someone on Twitter said it yesterday. I hadn't talked about it with anyone. I kept it in my head. Someone just randomly tweets, is it just me or did this person's accent bother you? Whatever. And I'm like, yes, thank you. I'm not crazy. Like, it's not.
It didn't bother me, but I was just, I'm with you.
It's just not good.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know where, what was. Yeah.
Her Australian bleeds through, and I don't think she's supposed to be Australian in this movie.
I want to see that prequel. Like, where the hell did you come from?
Yeah, like, how did you get here? Yeah.
That would be, that's the one I want to see.
So, and, you know, and again, it doesn't ruin the movie.
No,
but
not at
I'm
all.
Just like, oh,
because she's good.
Yeah.
Like, she has some really good performance parts.
And I think it would be better if it didn't sound so weird.
Could have been.
Weird.
Yeah.
You know?
It was very
takes
weird.
You out of it a little bit.
It does, takes you out of it.
Yeah, for sure. So, this is so Willoughby sets up his perfect day with his daughters. And
this was hilarious. What he says to his kids.
Oh, yeah.
Not moving.
He does say goddamn a lot.
He does.
and
the way he says it, and, you know, don't get off this thing and do not stick the ends of these fishing poles into your sister's eyeballs because that would be counterproductive to this entire operation.
And they go, and what would it be? And both the girls are like, counterproductive
to this entire operation.
So they... He get the kids set up, and then they kind of, the husband, Woody Harrelson and his wife walk away, and she's like, we're not going to do this. And he's like, oh, we're going to do this. And they kind of
went on a nice hike.
And without clothes on. So then they go back.
Oh, I meant hike.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's more appropriate. So they go back to the house, and the one girl's like, "Is mommy drunk?" And he's just like, "No, she just has a Chardonnay induced headache." And the kid's just like,
"What?
Well, all right, whatever." So he goes downstairs and he has this really nice talk with her.
Hilarious.
Where he's just like, she's like, "Oh, I hate those goddamn horses. Like, once you die, I'm stuck with those horses."
What about their sex talk, though? This is brilliant and so hilarious. Yeah. And, you know, she's talking about his yeah, thank you. Do it live. Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, that's beautiful. Was that in a poem?"
She's like, "Oscar Wilde.
Was that a Shakespeare?"
Yeah. He says, I think that was Shakespeare. And she's like, "No, you idiot. Oscar Wilde." Like, again, this is probably one of my favorite things he's written. Like, I like his other two movies, but this script is bonkers.
Yeah, this is I'm not going to say it's almost Tarantino level in the amount of speed that people can are going back and forth with each other. And the timing that everybody has with each other is why
the movie goes by fast, because it's a quiet movie. It's not about much action. There's nothing really big that happens with the exception of a couple little scenes.
Yeah.
But every single scene has this writing that keeps you enthralled with it and laughing and interested. It is just a fantastic screenplay.
No, it is. I agree. So this is the scene where he says, "You go back to sleep. Don't worry about it."
He writes a letter and leaves it.
I don't think you see that. Do you?
Because I caught it the second time.
Okay.
He leaves it on the table by the flower pot, I believe, but they don't mention it. And then he goes out. Like, you don't know what he's doing.
Okay.
Unless it might be in flashback.
It's in flashback.
You do see her leave the letter.
You see her feet on the. So he goes out to the. He says something to the horses, and he's like, "Oscar Wilde." And he shakes his head. And then, like, so the way it's shot is it's just like it's a profile, right? So it's just from, like, his collarbone to the top of his head. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he puts this black bag over his head,
which I thought was like a horse poop bag at first. He's holding it down, a wide shot, and
you can't see the note,
like, and he's opening it up, and I thought, oh, he's cleaning the horse poop like you said he would,
right?
But then it goes into that profile shot, and then he puts a bag over
and
his head.
It says, don't take it off, just call the boys.
Yeah.
And he, like, there's no what is it, McDonough, what's his name?
Yeah.
Okay, what he doesn't do is he doesn't linger.
No.
Like, it is like, you see the gun, up to the head, bang.
Yeah.
Like, there's no time for you to
process.
He's not doubting. Like, this
is it.
Yeah, he's
not messing around.
He's had this plan.
Right.
I mean, obviously, we learned that he manufactured this
the whole day. Right.
And it's so good. This letter, I did not see him killing himself.
No.
I didn't see that letter. Or
no,
the
you
letter.
See it. They show you. They literally show you.
Well, I didn't until I saw it.
Oh,
I just meant I didn't see it. And then
I see. I see. Wait.
Wait. What?
Aha!
You did see it. But his letter to the wife, and then the two letters that follow to Frances McDormand and to Dixon.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow.
Well, you've got one to the wife, you've got one to Frances McDormand, and then you've got Dixon.
One to Dixon.
Yeah.
I think I just said that exactly.
Did you say,
The wife.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Frances
McDormand,
and then
Dixon. Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All three of those. Like, wow. It was so clever and original the way he did those things. So,
do you think Woody Harrelson is an A-lister?
I don't think he can open a movie.
Yeah, it's true.
I think he's known, and I think he's great in everything he shows up in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like he's just not Tom Cruise.
I think he can get an art house movie greenlit.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think he could get, you know.
Wasn't he just in something that was based on a graphic novel? What was the one where he was like the asshole with the heart of gold?
Well,
All of them?
That's true. Yeah. Well,
he was
was that episode of Three's Company where there's the misunderstanding and then hilarity ensues?
Oh,
correct.
Was that the one with the one guy?
Yeah.
And the two girls.
And then they had trouble playing The Rent.
Correct.
Yeah.
One of them uses a thigh master.
He's been in a ton of movies lately. So he was just in those Hunger Games movies, which was really
big.
Yeah,
okay.
And then he was in War for the Planet of the Apes as the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
Most recently. Yeah.
But he was in something with the gal with Dern, with Laura Dern. Where they have, like, he's like a, oh, I know it was based on a graphic novel, and I cannot think of what it was
called.
What
happened in that?
It's not Tourette's, but he just, like, says the most ridiculous things to people. And he,
oh, I can see that poster now.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. It's like his name. It's like a one word movie
title.
With
Wilson.
Wilson. That's what it is.
I didn't see
that's
it.
That's a comic book.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard good things, too.
I did, too.
So so the wife wakes up. She hears the gunshot, and then she goes and finds the.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then she goes out. She knows.
She starts crying. She sees the letter and starts
crying.
Yeah,
she knows what's going to happen.
But he's reading his letter to her,
and it's a beautiful letter. It's a beautifully written letter. But it's also written as Willoughby would have said it.
Yeah.
So and it's hilarious. Like, yeah, Marshall wants to talk about this movie too.
Yeah, so Tom leaves to go to the bathroom and Marshall walks in.
Yeah, he's sitting in Tom's chair. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Marshall. Put the headphones go on like that. Right. Can I get an audio check, Marshall?
Woof, woof, woof.
Perfect.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I love it. And again, so it's we see that McDonough can write, obviously, very comedic tones from his all of his movies that we've seen thus far. He's a great writer with comedy. He can write a really good story, but this is also very sentimental. Like you said, it's comedic in that dark humor type of way, or in that Woody Harrelson type of way, you could say.
That's more.
But it's still very touching because of what he says about the day. It was the perfect day, and then you know, like, you talked about the joke with the poetry,
right?
And then he says, you know, for a while, I know you're going to hate me, and you're going to hate me for doing this, but it was like I weigh this against the 2 weeks that we might have left together,
and me being
versus the 2 weeks that I'm going to see you and the kids in constant pain from dealing with me. And I decided that, you know, this is actually the...
When he's still able to have his facilities and take care of business on his own.
So, very, very... Faculties?
I like facilities.
I just use the facilities.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, yeah, can't use the facilities if he's dead. Yeah. So, he still
there
has
it is.
Facilities.
He still has his facilities. Yeah, and he, like, even the letter, he's just like, if there's something on the other side... I'll see you there.
If not,
it was fun while I was here.
It's like, God, it's awesome.
So then Frances McDormand is at her job and she...
Is this the creepy gift shop customer?
So it's initially the creepy gift shop customer where the guy walks in and he was just like, oh, you're Mildred Hayes or whatever. And she's just like, do I know you?
Yeah. Could this get any more uncomfortable? Jeez.
Yeah.
This
he
guy
could have raped her. Like that's the next step that makes
correct,
it even more uncomfortable.
But geez, like this guy is
it's
a
weird because... So they set this up, and you're just like, well, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's absolutely
like,
the
no
guy.
Doubt. Yeah.
Because he's like, maybe I was the guy that knew your daughter and blah, blah.
And I love her understated reaction. Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
And
picks
she's
up
like,
like a bunny, and he chucks it at her.
Yeah.
And as he's getting ready to leave, she's like, you owe me $7. And he was like, yeah, I'll get it on my way back through.
Yeah.
And
then where you're like, oh, this is going to come back around.
In walks the sheriff's wife, and she... Everybody in this town is livid at her because they believe that the billboards caused Willoughby to commit suicide.
There's a news report right before this where the gal that interviewers the first time she wants to get the good story and it's a positive thing. And then before the gift shop scene, she's watching the TV or maybe it's at the gift shop, wherever it is. And they're like,
oh,
he took his own life.
Right.
And maybe it's because of
these
billboards
from
this last report. This reporter thinks maybe, you know.
Typical fake news.
Yeah.
And
so she comes in and she says, boy, you don't know how lucky I am to see you. And then she's
oh, no, I think it's like, I never thought I'd be happy to see you.
She doesn't say it like that.
No?
She doesn't say it in a negative way. No, she's like, she's just looking out the window and I don't even think
she'd be the last person
know,
I wanted to see.
She doesn't
see?
Know who she is. Because once she hears who she is, she goes, oh, I'm so sorry for like...
That's
she
true. She does
she's
have
customer.
The reaction. Yeah.
But she
true.
Says, she said, hey, I just want to stop by and drop off this letter from my husband that killed himself.
Yeah, and she's just like, ooh. Yeah.
And it's an emotional scene and well-written, and that's why I wish the accent thing didn't bleed through because it really is a good performance. She's very emotional.
I initially thought this was the gal from You're Next. But I think she's bigger. I think she's like that gal in Your Next was kind of thin.
Oh, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, easy, buddy. This gal was. I think she was not as skinny.
Gotcha.
As the other, because the other gal's super skinny. I'm just gonna say that
this girl is not fat. I mean, this woman's beautiful.
Yes.
So we're you're
she
crazy.
Looks,
if
she
you
looks
think.
Familiar, but I don't know from where.
Gotcha.
We also forget to mention that we get a flashback to the day. The daughter goes missing. Or
the last conversation.
You know, her name is Abby Cornish.
Oh, that's why do I
just put it anywhere?
I did
look her up though. Like she's that's a thing.
Yeah, I mean she's an actress. That you know.
What was she? All right, what doesn't matter. So yeah, the daughter who
Sucker Punch.
Oh well, I hate to say that I own a copy of that movie, but. I own
you
a copy
own
of that.
Two.
I own one.
You probably own the original and then the
no,
director's cut.
No, I just
cut.
Have the director's cut. That's the only one I've got. So the daughter, who is a character from Supernatural,
in Limitless with Bradley Cooper. She's the main female in that.
Okay.
She was in Geostorm, which you may or may not have seen this year.
May not have seen that.
And the
I owned a Geo Prism. Does that count?
Not for the Storm part.
I don't like to brag.
Yeah.
Did it have power steering?
The RoboCop reboot. I'm guessing
she's the wife.
Murphy's wife.
Yeah, she is the
so,
wife.
So yeah,
that's
you,
right.
You know okay. this actress.
Did you just groan? No, I said Geo Prism. If you need power steering. They give you a Monster Energy drink. that's your power steering.
That's your
option.
Power steering. Yeah. You just pour it into your tummy.
Yes.
Like that's what that is.
And she was in Seven Psychopaths.
She's a regular.
Yeah.
Okay. So
she's a regular.
Yeah. So we get this flashback to where the daughter is just like, "Oh, can I have the car?" And she's just like, "No, like you were smoking weed. Like you're not gonna get the car." Massive fight, massive.
I love the joke between the son.
Yeah, both of you. Okay, I'm gonna say it. Both of you stop being ready. Both of you stop being cunts. And she's what is?
Well, the girl calls her that, and the mom says, "Don't call me a cunt." And
yeah.
She says, "There will be no more cunts in this house." And he says, "What are you moving out?"
Yeah, what are you moving
like,
out?
God, it's so good. And then he goes, "It was a joke." It was like he immediately like wasn't being serious.
Yeah, at the same time, with the way these three talk to each other, it's like it's fair game.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, for
yeah,
sure.
But he immediately like he had to throw his hands up.
Right.
He says, "That was just a joke."
Right.
That's great.
She leaves and she was like, "Oh, I'm probably gonna get raped." And she's like, "I hope you get raped." And then she walks out the door.
Well, she says, "I hope I do." Like, she doesn't say probably. She goes, "I hope I get raped."
Oh,
on the way.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
She goes, "I hope you do, too."
Yeah.
And then, boom, fades to black. And she's looking at the daughter's bedroom. And that is where it really hits hard. Because if you already knew she was in mental anguish, she's going through some deep crap. And then you see their last words to one another.
Right.
And that's what comes true when she loses her daughter.
Not, it's pretty
so
bad.
This is why I think the insight into the character it goes even deeper and it's even more impactful when you see the way that Frances McDormand's character is acting, because she's dealing with that and she's been blaming herself, certainly.
So this is also where we're introduced to John Hawkes, who plays the ex-husband who has run away with his 19-year-old mistress, and that 19-year-old mistress was hilarious.
She was great.
She was
funny. So there's a very intense scene where John Hawkes, who you know from Deadwood and From Dusk Till Dawn.
Was it Winter's Bone or was it Marcy, Mary, May, Marlene? I can't remember which one of those movies he was in.
He's really good.
Yeah, It might have been with Elizabeth Olsen, that Marcy. I can never remember the way to say it because there's so much alliteration in the damn thing. It's a really, really good movie.
Is it new?
No. It's several years old, but it's one of Elizabeth Olsen's best performances. I mean, she's amazing in it.
Better than The Scarlet Witch?
Yes, better than the Scarlet Witch.
Well, I just want to make sure.
But I think he's a really creepy dude in that. He always plays...
He doesn't... In Deadwood, he's like the Jewish store owner.
Yeah, and it is Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
Okay, that's
say that three times fast.
No, I won't.
But he plays a creepster in that.
Yeah. So he comes and he kind of says, "She was going to leave. And I told her, don't. Like, she was going to come stay with me. And I said, don't. Your mother, I'm not a good dad. Your mother loves you very much." And he's like, "And I wish I would have told her that, because if I had told her to come with me, she'd still be alive." And she's just like, "Oh, you're full of crap." And he's just like, "Ask Fruit Loop Boy over there."
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't like you at all.
Yeah, that's another gut punch right there where it's like just another way that it's like, oh, I could have saved her life. And she's already contemplating because of what happened.
Right.
You know, how it went down, how she could have done things differently. And she's seeing all these things and blaming herself for the death.
Right. And this is just another thing.
Yeah. And in the meantime, he's flipped the table and got her on a chokehold.
Right.
And then the son actually comes
up with
a knife. And then the girl sees the bathroom and sees that.
Is this awkward? I feel like this is awkward.
Yeah.
I'll just hold it. It's fine. It's fine.
And then on the way out, she goes, "Why don't you go take Zoo Girl and get out of here?" Oh, well, funny story. They were letting people go at the zoo, and it was a case of first, last in, first out.
Right.
And so I got fired from the job, but I'm going to work with the handicapped horses or the horses for the disabled, so I'm cleaning up after them.
So I've got a job.
Yeah, and it's just like
Wallabies need somebody to take care of the horses.
Right. Oh, they do. There's a new opening. But
There is. Yeah. His head.
Yeah.
More than one.
Yeah. So they all four of them just turn around, or all three of them look at her.
And she's like, "I'm just gonna leave."
And she doesn't say anything. She walks out. It's like
it was a really great
comedic relief right in there.
So this is where Dixon is constantly looking at Red from across, because like the police station's across the street from the advertising agency.
We see a few scenes where Frances McDormand, when she's being interrogated, looks out and you see him. They keep showing that it's across the street.
It's right across the street. So in Dixon's rage that Willoughby is dead, he goes across, he smashes out the window of the door.
Can I also say I love the shot and the way they set
the tracking
up.
Shot.
So yeah, it starts with him listening to ABBA on his headphones, and he's just like hanging out in the office being a doofus, because that's what he is, a complete just dingle.
He sees somebody throw a chair in the background.
Well, in the background you see people sad and consoling, and then someone, the captain or whoever, throws the chair, and then he's like, whoa,
he's
what's going on here? And then that's when you get the bathroom scene where they're both very close, and the first time I thought they were both crying together, and I thought they had something, but it's just Dixon because he passed out when he heard the news, and the other guy was trying to like splash water on his face and hold him up, and then after that he leaves the bathroom, and it's just like that one awesome tracking shot where he takes his baton out,
he smashes the window to go he doesn't even open the door, he just smashes the middle window.
Middle of the day, the door surely is open, but he just,
so there is what you kind of see in the background is this African-American dude, older dude, who's like in the background. And you don't
see that till the very end.
Is that right?
You don't see him until he walks back through.
Oh, okay. So he goes up the steps and he goes in, and the girl in the office starts screaming.
Yeah.
So he takes his pistol and just beats the shite out of
Red,
and he's busted up his face.
He hits him twice. He pistol whips him twice in the face.
That's all it
and
takes.
Then smashes the window out and then throws him out the window.
And
the girl yells at him, "What are you doing?" And he just goes and smacks, he does the palm thing.
Yeah.
No, he does that like right up her nose, whatever that move.
Well, that
called.
That'll kill you.
Yeah, that's what he did. He goes boom, like,
oh,
and then walks out.
I thought
out,
he
yeah.
punched her, but
no,
right.
he did the palm thing. What's that called, police officer? I don't know.
Illegal. Assault. It's called illegal.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's a palm strike is what it is, but it's, you don't do that.
It was nasty.
Yeah.
Man.
Unless you're like, you know, in the jungle fighting the predator or something.
Yes, that is the only time that move is dubbed illegal. It's banned from Earth. It's banned from WWE, certainly.
You can't do it.
But jungles fighting the predator.
I'm telling you. What are you going to do, Kevin? Nothing.
Palm strike. I'm practicing the double palm strike.
Yeah, you might have to. Try to break those little claws off.
Again, like track and shot, they track him all the way back down and across the street going back to the police station. And then it's the guy from The Wire is standing there outside with his coffee. And I noticed the second time
when
Dixon walks in, he moves his coat and there's a badge there. So
I don't know does he put his hands at like... It's
on his
super subtle.
It is. I didn't even see it the first time, but he moves his coat and puts his hands on his hip, which reveals the badge.
The badge.
So you see that he's a cop.
So he walks in and he's just like, you know, I was sent down. Of course, the sergeant is just like, what do you want? And he was just like, what do you got, a reading problem?
He's
like,
what's your name? And he said, and that's where he's like, are you?
He's like, it's on my name tag. You got a reading problem? He's like, oh, I see, because it's, you know, a hearing problem, but it's play on words. I see what you did there. And he was just like, I was sent down here to take Willoughby's spot. And he was like, do you got your paperwork? And then Dixon's in the background. He's like, yeah, you better show him your paperwork. And
this is great.
And so finally the guy, like everybody, he's like, don't you crackers have anything you're supposed to be doing? And the guy,
that's racist.
Dixon's like, isn't that racist? So they all get up and walk away. And he's like, what happened to your hand? He's like, just a little thing. He's like, give me your gun and badge. And he was just like, what?
No, the way it's written, though, is great. He's like, how are things in the whatever? Or what does he say? It's not the torturing thing. I'm thinking of that. But he goes, the way he asks it is he's like, he phrases it in a question. They go back and forth. And then he goes, how about the give me your gun and your badge? So, you know, and
that's
I wish I remembered. It was another great line.
Yeah.
And he's just like
what?
He's like, no reaction. Gun in your badge. So he gives him the gun, and he's like looking all over under his comic books. And this, I mean, Dixon's is just a mess.
Yeah.
The guy is a total slob, and his life's a mess. And so he can't find it. And then he's like, just go. And so he goes and he picks up his two comic books, and he drops off his belt to the sergeant. And he goes, I think I just got fired or maybe suspended.
Like,
and the other guy,
no, you got fired.
Really understand. He just goes, fired.
And he's like, oh, okay.
That was great.
And he walks out.
Right. Yeah. And this is where we get a call back. He's at home and he gets a call from the sergeant, and the sergeant's just like, look, there's a letter here for you. He's like, all right, I'll come down and get it. He's like,
well, first, the scene between him and the mom. Who is that mom?
Like, I don't know. She's one of those actresses that
shows
up.
She's a character actor that is very, very distinct.
It's funny. So I'm rewatching Justified.
Okay.
And Nick Searcy, who plays the priest in this movie.
Oh, Lannister. Nick Searcy Lannister.
Yeah, right.
I get one too.
You get one too. That's pretty good. So he plays the priest in this movie. In the movie we're gonna talk about later, he shows up again, And I'm just like, what? Did Nick Searcy have a career resurgence all of a sudden as a bit part actor? Which I'm fine with because he's great.
Well, the son in this movie was just in Lady Bird.
Oh, was he really?
So it's like, man, that kid's in two breakout
massive
art house
movies.
Well,
not massive movies, but
it's going to be up for a lot
movies.
Of awards. Yeah. And when they keep making money and award season comes, they will go wide release.
Sure. So, oh, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like that kid, I saw them days apart, and I'm like, that kid's in this too, like two really good movies. So, you know, sometimes you just luck out where you get a few jobs and they come out around the same time.
Yeah,
and
that's true. That's true.
Praised.
Yeah, so.
So the mom, she goes, do you want me to call them? And he goes, no, I don't want my mom calling the police. What? And then he looks
what
at her.
What kind
goes,
of man?
Goes, yeah, who does that? And then he looks at her and goes, what would you say? Yeah. Tell him to give him your job back.
It's like, no. Forget
oh my
it.
Gosh,
forget it.
So great.
So
apparently the dad dies and so at a young age, and so he has had to live and take care of his mom. And
that's an alcoholic.
That's
mother.
Why he still lives at home, and he is a raging alcoholic. Yes. I mean, we should say that there were scenes and interactions early on in the bar, and he's super drunk, and he's having given crap to Red and to Peter Dinklage's character, who's in just a minor few scenes, but he's great. And Red says, did you tell your mama you were going to be out?
He's like...
And he's like, no, I told my mom I'd be out till 1 o'clock, and he's serious.
I might
serious.
Be out late tonight.
He's totally serious. Yeah. So you see the mental like
stunting.
Yeah,
yeah. So the guy, the sergeant calls him and says, "Hey, there's a letter here for you." He's like, "All right, I'm on my way." He's like, "You still have your key?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, why don't you just come by after everybody's gone, and leave the key?" And he was just like, "Okay." So he
At
goes.
At first, I thought this was a setup.
I don't know
Didn't
what
it
was.
Didn't it seem a little weird, like something suspicious when he tells Rock, because like, no, don't come get the letter now. And I get that like tensions are higher or whatnot in the office. But then he's like, why don't you just come after hours? You've got your key. Like, it seemed, I thought he was working with Frances McDormand somehow.
Oh, I didn't take it that way. I just took it as he
didn't want him in the office.
Didn't want
well,
him in the
clearly
office.
Wrong. I just, I something yeah. seemed suspicious with the way to get him this letter after hours. And then when it was set up the way it was immediately after, I'm like, oh, this is weird. But yeah. I guess it was just a way to keep him out of there.
I guess. So he goes and he gets the letter and he's got his earbuds in. He's reading this really touching letter. He's
I
like,
love this scene where Willoughby tells him, he's like,
idiot, but
you're a good guy and you really could be good, but you got to lose all that anger.
Right.
And he says, you know, what you really need to be what you want to be, which is the detective, is love. And then he has a great line where he says, like, now I know you might think people will think you're gay, but if they do, arrest him for homophobia. Yeah, that will really surprise him. Just great scene. So you see him and he's almost like tearing up.
You know what, he might have been gay because they referenced that at the bar. They referenced something about being gay at a bar.
Red. I think Red's gay.
I think Red's firing on that gal that's in his office.
But I'm pretty sure because he's telling Red the whole conversation at the bar in the beginning was, you know what they do to the gays down in Cuba? They kill them. And then he talks about...
Fresh is like, I don't think that's true.
I took it as Red was gay. But I know he's looking at that girl in the office.
Yeah.
But I think he was more of like her shopping partner. You know, I took it as their friends, not romantically.
But now that you've mentioned that he may have been, they do drop hints every once in a while that, you know, he may have been. So... he gets the letter, but while he's reading the letter, Frances McDormand is over in the advertising agency chucking Molotov cocktails at the police station while he's in there.
Yeah.
So,
and he's so tuned into this letter, and his back is facing the windows where she's throwing them. And she does try to call two different times and no one answers.
Right.
So she says, screw him, but I don't think she knew anyone was in there. I think she just meant, oh, no one answered the phone. So I did my part now.
So in the last one, it blows the hole in the wall. And he realizes what's happened. He grabs the file,
the Angela Hayes case,
and dives out the window, covered in flames.
And this is a great. And I know I said there was an argument earlier, but like in my opinion, this was a great way to show that turn in the character, that growth, because it was the letter that made him.
But then it was Peter Dinklage who came over and like put him out, and then like Dinklage was the chief walks over and he was like, "What did you see?" And he's like, well, we came around the corner and we saw him there and we put him out. And he was like, are you two a thing? And he was just like, yeah, in the beginning. And he looks at her. He's like, is that true? She's like, we've been on a couple dates. And it was just like, all right, right on. Like, this is she knows she has to go along with it.
Right.
Because if she doesn't, she's screwed.
But I love what they do with that redemption there, the way that the letter was written and the way that it really hit home with him. And he knew he has to change, clean up his act because he's unemployed.
Well, also
people hate him.
Getting the validation from Woody Harrelson that I don't think he ever got, because he does call him dumbass or dipshit throughout the entire thing. Like, he's not being mean. He's just like, God, you're an idiot.
Because right. He is.
But he loves him. Like, you could tell that he loves this dude.
Well, he didn't fire him, so he obviously
cared
about him.
He's constantly not firing him.
Right, that's the real love. But, yeah, and then he saves that case because he realizes that he wants to be a detective, and he wants to solve the case to get his job back and to help. So he dives outside the burning window to protect it,
which
is cool. And
sets himself on fire in the process. So he goes to the hospital, and he's all wrapped up, and he sees – they happen to just put him into – he's Two-Face. They just happen to put him in the same room as Red. And the guy's
which
like,
I kind of got to throw.
I'm with you. This was the one I was like,
BS
nah,
flag on that.
Nope.
Yeah.
And I throw a BS flag sort of, but I was like, if it's a small,
town
and a small hospital, but
and they're both like in critical condition.
They're also
I guess
not going to put
a
burn victim anywhere near anybody else.
Yeah. If they were both burn victims,
maybe
then maybe, but
they would never put. Yeah.
But yeah,
it's a nice moment though. Where
but Red shows compassion for him.
Correct.
And it kind of shows him that like, oh, Maybe life doesn't
wrong.
Have to be like this.
Right. And after Dixon apologizes. So, like, again, the character has changed at this point. And he says, I'm sorry, Red. And then he's like, what? Do I know you? And
So going back to there's a line in the letter. It was just like, sometimes a break in the case is just sitting at the bar at the right time.
Yeah, some guy in a
That's
bar.
That's to McDorman.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, he says it to her. And her, but he's like, sometimes these go on forever. And what well, just it's
5 years down the road,
some guy in a bar is bragging.
And then there you go.
And there you go.
That's the scene we get now is Sam Rockwell sitting in the bar. His face is all kind of healed up, but still kind of gross. And the guy from earlier, the creepy guy from the gift shop, sits down with his buddy and starts talking about details of a case where he raped a gal and set her on fire.
And a bunch of people watched.
And Rockwell is just like, Rockwell goes out. He's pretty slick about it. Like, this is some good detective
work. He wants
to
be a detective. I really like the change. He's such a good actor, and to see him not be a character that you completely hate, because you hate him earlier in this movie, and he does terrible things, so, like, to see him trying to crack the case is really neat.
Yeah, so he goes out, he looks at the
smokes a cigarette,
smokes
looks
the
license
plate, gets that, goes back inside, and then he's not drunk yet, but he plays up that drunk card. Sits down, he's like, you know, he goes to the bar, does the whole little two taps, and turns around, he's just kind of looking at this guy.
Oh, double tap the bartender?
Double tap the bartender.
Oh, wow. John Wick.
You always double tap, Kevin, if Zombieland has taught me anything. Yeah. So the guy's just like, what are you looking at? Like, what's your deal? He's like, no, nothing. Nothing at all. Just,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So he goes
to sit. Gomer Pyle or something.
Just Gomer Pyle. That's your tribute for Gomer Pyle.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're the only one at this table.
Yes.
Is he the one that just passed away?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
So he sits down and he's just like, you want to see a magic trick? And the guy's like, just do the trick. And he scratches him. And I was like, that's brilliant.
Well done. After the letter and him wanting to be a detective.
So I thought he was just going to take he's going to take the punches and somehow get the DNA.
No, I was like, that scratch. I'm like, brilliant. It's going to be under his fingernails.
Right.
Yeah. I love it.
And he takes a beating. So he goes home and he grabs a vial and he puts the piece of skin. And he gives it, and he goes to Francis McDormand. He's like, look, we may have him. I don't know. It's possible. He said some stuff that seemed right, but we just got to wait.
They have a nice conversation where she's like, I was beginning to give up hope. This is more than I had in a long time.
Well, that's at the on the phone.
Yeah.
Where she so they test the DNA, and it turns out it's not the guy. He sits down with the police. Rockwell sits down with the police chief. He's like, man, you did great. Like, he did great work. That's awesome police work. It's not him. And he was just like, no, you got to be kidding me. He's like, he wasn't even in the country. He's like, well, where was he? He's like, it's classified.
I talked to his commanding officer, and he was out of the country.
And it's classified. And he was like, well,
if I tell you he had a commanding officer and he was out of the country, where do you think he'd be? He's like, I don't know.
He's like, I'll give you a clue.
It was
Sandy.
And he's just like I don't.
That could be anywhere.
I was so waiting for him to be like, who's Sandy?
That's pretty
he's
good.
He's so dumb.
Yeah. So he calls her back and just says, look, it's not him. I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean to get your hopes up. And this is the line where she's like, I haven't had hope in months or years. Like, this is the first time I've had hope.
Months.
She died
9 months ago.
Is that what it was?
So, yeah.
Okay. He's like, but I've got his information.
I know where he lives.
He may not have raped your daughter, but he's a rapist, and I know where he lives. And she was just like, where? He goes, Idaho.
That's funny.
She's like, that's funny. I was about to take a trip to Idaho.
I'm going there in the morning.
She's like, you want some company? And she's just like, yeah, I do. So they get in the car.
There are a couple times where I wish the movie would have ended.
Oh, it did.
Well,
I'm just gonna.
But I'm saying, like, I think that hanging up the phone would have been a great ending because the stuff that happens, there's not much else. So, like, oh, I'm going there in the morning. You want company? Well, fade to black. I mean, I think that would have been a nice closing.
I like the closing we got
because I think if they ended where you just referenced, you would have been like,
yeah,
they're going there to kill that guy. Where the way it ends in the car,
you're not 100% sure.
It's like, I don't think they're going to kill that guy.
I just feel like,
I think they're going to, like, this movie's all about anger and the cycle of anger and how
growing.
It breeds more anger.
Yeah. Right.
I took it is they're both kind of like, yeah, maybe this isn't a good idea. Yeah.
Right. So there's a scene that we kind of skipped is a Dinklage takes Frances McDormand on a date and like the
pretty heartbreaking scene.
The ex-husband walks in with Penelope and,
great one-liners. The circus in town. Does he juggle?
Yeah. And she's going along with it. Yeah. You know, like she's right there with him.
Yeah, she is mean to this guy. Yeah. And it really is heartbreaking when Dinklage
has his turn.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm not the catch. But the line where he's like, Penelope's taught me that anger only begets anger. And she's just like, did she actually use the word beget?
Yeah.
And so she walks at the end of, like, finally her.
She grabs a bottle where earlier in the movie,
she's
holding the bottle like she's going to conk a guy.
Right.
Yeah.
But she actually listened to what this girl said.
Right. And so.
Did you say it begets?
And she's like,
yeah, I read it on a bookmark. On a book I was reading?
Book I was reading about
polio. Polio. Or polo. Which one's the one with the horses?
And he's just, and John, whatever his name is, just like, polo. She's like, yeah, right, that.
So,
but like, yeah, and that's how. So they get in the car, and then she's like, "Are we really gonna do this? Are we really gonna kill this guy?" And he was just like, "Oh, are we?" And fade to black.
Yeah.
But this was phenomenal. Like it might be in my top. I have to go back and figure out what the F we've watched in the last year.
Well, see, you still got to watch Lady Bird. You still got to watch The Disaster Artist. There are some big
ones really
coming
keen
out
on The Disaster Artist. I don't know. Like we'll see.
I think it's going to be the movie of next week. So
yeah,
I will see it. Don't worry. Have no fear.
Yeah, we've made you seem worse.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's fair. But yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Really good movie.
Loved
it.
Really solid.
So Dan is here, so there's no video recovery.
He's not
so,
here.
So I guess we will go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert. Or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers or at our website, RealSpoilers.com. So that's it for this episode. Coming up next week, we're skipping the box office. It'll be a two for next week, right? So we don't know which episode will line up next, but it'll be either Shape of Water or Water.
Water.
If you're not from South County, Shape of Water. Where did that come from? Shape of Water. Or The Disaster Artist. But either way, you'll get to hear both eventually. So
have no fear.
So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Sam Deeds decides to not solve the murder.
1, 2. Prince is now before you. That's what I said now. Princes who adore you. Go ahead now. One has diamonds in his pockets. That's some bread now. This one, he wants to buy you lockets. Ain't in his head now. Hey!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.